In Parshas Bo, we have this big moment of the Yetzias Mitzrayim story. We are now, reaching the crescendo of part of the, this part of the story of really the last few makos, and also the Korban Pesach. So the rules of the Korban Pesach, the first time that they've done it is in Parshas Bo, and it's in this week's parsha that we have the final. I don't know about I was going to say the final word from Paro to get out of here, because this really he really like pushes them out and it's time to go. But it's not really, I guess, the final, because then he ends up giving chase next week anyway. So you're right, you can't really trust anything that guy says. So that's the bulk of Parshas Bo is the last couple of makos. Then the build-up to Makas Bechoros with the Korban Pesach and that final night, and then Paro sent them out. And then, at the end, this is actually, at the end of the parsha, we have these couple of paragraphs which are also kind of funny, funny in terms of like how they fit into the rest of the story, right? We kind of may forget that they are there. And these last couple of paragraphs discuss the Korban Pesach, they discuss Tefillin, right? These are the two of the paragraphs that give us the mitzvah of Tefillin, two out of the four parshios. So those are kind of stuck in at the end. There are some famous sources about the end. And we also have the following pasuk. It tells us about what will happen in the future, right? Discussing not just Yetzias Mitzrayim right now, right, as far as the story is concerned, but also the pasuk adds for us the following, and this is in source one. So it says, "Vahaya ki yishalcha vincha machar lemor." So it'll be that your children will ask tomorrow, right? So your children will ask in the future the following, "Mazos, what is this?" The amarta ilav, and you'll say to him, "Bechozek yad, hotzianu Hashem imitzar mibeis havadim." So you'll say to him, "God took us out with a strong hand from Mitzrayim." So this is one of the times that the Torah refers to the we might say this Seder in the future, right? The fact that in the future not only did they experience Yetzias Mitzrayim, but that forevermore it will be a part of our practice. And not only that, but you'll actually have conversations about it, right? They'll ask about it, and you'll answer, and you'll explain. So this kind of refers to that whole process. But we might also recognize this pasuk, this phrase, this actually is used in the Haggadah. We may remember that in the context of the Haggadah, we actually have a bunch of different questions, or a few questions. And that is in source 2, right? It's introduced with the following line. This is the part of the Haggadah where we say, Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, Baruch Shenasan Torah L'Amo Yisrael Baruch Hu. Okay, so we have this bracha to Hashem about the Torah. When it comes to Pesach, we can figure out why is that the introduction to the following part. But is it part of the connected to the part before, the part after? Okay, Keneged Arba Abanim Dibra Torah. So the Torah refers to four children. Echad Chacham, Ve'echad Rasha, Ve'echad Tam, Ve'echad Sheni Yodei Lishol. Right, we have the four children of the Pesach Seder, the Chacham, the Rasha, the Tam, and the Eino Yodea Lishol. So we'll translate the wise one, the wicked one, the Tam, which is the simple one, we would translate it sometimes, and Eino Yodea Lishol, the one who does not know how to ask. And each paragraph about these children, right, refers to a pasuk. So we may recognize that our pasuk of that your child is going to ask, Mazos, what is this? So this question of Mazos is actually one of the questions of these four sons. And this is the question of the Tam. Okay, so the question of the Tam. So our parsha has this question of the Tam who asks, Mazos, what is this? Right, it's not an elaborate question like the Chacham. It's not a very complicated question. Mazos, what is it? What are we doing? What is this? So that's the question of the Tam. That's what we find in our parsha. Okay, so we might be familiar with that line in the Haggadah and those four kids. What's interesting is that there is another list of the four kids. Four kids. Kid here not being Chad Gadya, kid being child. So it says in the Yerushalmi The Yerushalmi has the following list. It is on, it's in Arvei Pesachim, so it's in that, it's on that Mishnah that talks about telling the story. So the Gemara starts, Tani Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya taught, Keneged Arba Banim Dibra Torah. The Torah refers to four children. Okay, so far so good. Looks very familiar. Ben Chacham, the wise one. Ben Rasha, the wicked one. Ben Tipesh, the stupid one. Seems we might translate it. Ben Sheinu Yodei Lishol, the one who doesn't know how to ask.
So Tipesh and Tamar.
Yeah, so right, which of these things does not belong? Which one seems to be out of place? So we know the list. We know it's Chacham, Rasha, Tam, Eino Yodei Lishol. And the Yerushalmi actually has a different list. The Yerushalmi actually says Chacham, Rasha, Tipesh, Eino Yodei Lishol. So the Tam is replaced, right? The Tam doesn't get a place at the table in the Yerushalmi. He actually, is he not there? And instead, we have the Tipesh instead. So why is it that the Tam is, there are two ways to say it. One is it a different list, right? Maybe the Tam is a different person than the Tipesh. Or is it the same kid, right? It's the same question. The Yerushalmi is going to quote the same Pasuk. So it's the same child that we're referring to, this Ben from our Parsha. But the Haggadah, right, which is from one source of Chazal, so one source refers to that child as a Tam, the simple kid, the Tam. And the Yerushalmi, on the other hand, refers to that same child as a Tipesh. So why would the Yerushalmi use that language to refer to this kid? In fact, it's really not just the Yerushalmi. We're most familiar with the Haggadah, but if we look at Rashi in this week's Parsha, so Rashi says, Mazos, Zet Tinok Tipesh, Sheinu Yodei Lahamik She'elaso. This is a Tinok Tipesh, a not smart child who does not know, Lahamik She'elaso, to Lahamik would be like to deepen, right? To create a deep question. V'sosim v'shoel, and he just kind of, he asks in just like a plain way, Mazos. Right, that's it. That's all he's able to ask. What is it? And then Rashi elaborates. And in another place, we have a different question. Okay, so we have these four kids, right? Rashi says, if you look throughout the Chumash, you find different kinds of different questions, different ways that we address our children. Sometimes they ask a question a bunch of times, and sometimes they don't even ask a question, and we have to address it anyway, right? So we come out with four of them. Rasha, v'she'ina yodei lishol, v'hashoel derech stuma, the way Rashi kind of concludes, the one who does not ask a deep question, v'hashoel derech chachma, and someone who asks very wisely. So we're not going to get into the fact that like Rashi changes the order, Rashi, right? So I don't want to like completely get lost in Rashi, but we can see at the beginning, Rashi refers to this person, this child, right? This is a Tinok Tipesh. This is someone who doesn't know. So it sounds like he's, right, exactly. So he's using this language that the Yerushalmi uses of referring to this child as a Tipesh. I'm right pointing out to Rashi that again we have like we're familiar with Haggadah. We know the language of the Haggadah, and like that's what we think of when we think of the four children. The Yerushalmi, I don't know, maybe we just don't really, you know, maybe it's a machlokes and we don't really use the Yerushalmi. We don't really think of the Yerushalmi. But the Rashi brings the Yerushalmi. Or something like the Yerushalmi.
Was the Haggadah more or less edited, I guess, or better, lack of a better word, post Talmudic times?
Yeah. When is the editing of the Haggadah? I don't know that I can give you a full picture. I'd have to do a little research to figure out like what stages.
Yeah, because if it's post Talmudic, it's interesting that they rejected.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So. So.
Sounds nicer.
Right. So. So when over the course of history, looking at like the Haggadah, so one question is, you know, at what point? Right, were different. Did different pieces of the Haggadah kind of become standard, and that the text that we're using become standard? But it's potentially like at some point, right? Whether it was late or early, right? We have these different We have other midrashim that refer to kind of the same thing. And the question, right, we might ask is like, why do, there are two parts. One is, why does this midrash refer to it that way? And that midrash refers to it a different way. And then you're asking almost like a secondary point is, okay, and then when it comes to the Haggadah, why did we pick that one as opposed to that one? Which, when it comes to the Haggadah, that may be something we should think about, right? This is something we think about like with Rashi also, right? Rashi has a lot of midrashim to choose from. Like, why does he pick that one as opposed to that one? Why does he think this one answers the question better than that one?
Is there a Bavli that calls him a time?
So I don't think it appears in the Bavli. So I think it's in other it's so it's different.
The main source then would be the Yerushalmi, and then so the question is why. Whoever wrote
that. Right, so you could see, yeah, that. you could follow the sources here, the Michilta Derbi Shmuel. So the Michilta also, I think the Michilta does use Tam. I think the Michilta is another version. So you do have it in Midrashim and Chazal, but I don't think it appears in the Bavli. Okay, so what is with this kid? What's with this kid? This kid is he a Tam? Is he a Tipesh? We're looking at the same pasuk. And for some reason, we refer to this child who, right? What makes him a tipesh? What makes him a tam? Okay, so answer number one. Here's one thought on the subject. So, if we take a step back, what does tam mean? What does tam mean? So, if tam means, okay, great. So,
sitting in the Ohel learning.
Exactly.
So you would think it's a good thing.
There we go. Okay, so when we take these four sons, we take the word Tam, so we translate it as simple. So is being simple a good thing or a bad thing?
Just is.
Okay, so just is, right? He just is. That's how he is. Okay, so, right, when we put him up against someone like, this also gets to when we have the four sons, there are four of them, and kind of what, you know, when you put them in a certain order, is it like best to worst? Is it, right, like in the case of the questions, it's not best to worst. Like in the Haggadah, it kind of has like the most complex question to the least complex question.
It's the context.
Right, so it depends on the context, right? And some of the Mefarshei Haggadah will like pair them up. We'll say like this is in contrast to that. And which ones are the contrast?
In the context of the Haggadah, he doesn't come off so well. He comes off as more of a simpleton, if you will.
Yeah, and why does he come off that way as?
Well, because in that context, and in comparison to the wise son, he's doesn't know what to ask and.
Okay. So this is a direction that we're going to explore for this first answer, which is when we just look at the psukim. So he asks mazos, he is a tam, right? Which may mean that he is simple. Now we have other people who are referred to as tam, right? We think specifically of Yaakov. So Yaakov Avinu, when Yaakov is described, when he is when Yitzchak is raising Yaakov and Esav, so it describes Yaakov as ish tam. Yoshev Ohalim. So Yaakov is an Ishtam. Yaakov is a sometimes we'll say simple, sometimes we'll say like maybe like wholesome, right? Like Tamim is to be complete and whole. So maybe he's a wholesome person. He's an Ishtam Yoshev Ohalim, right? So Yaakov is just a good guy. He's a learner and he's a wholesome kid, and that's Yaakov. So Tam in a vacuum. Tom in a vacuum is potentially a good thing, right? Yeah, he's a straightforward person. But what you added is a different element. What you added is when we look at the Haggadah, we're not just looking at each child, but there's something that may happen when we put them next to each other. So the Baal Haggadah, the Baal Medrash, right, who's looking at this list potentially, right, when you start to gather all of them together, so... some might say it's a little misleading, but we're not going to argue that. But you might say the Tom is actually a good thing. He only looks bad. He only looks bad when you put him next to the Chacham. So now the Tom you know, his question looks so much worse when you put him next to, right? When you're in a classroom, like, you have some kids who are just, they're just good kids, and, like, they're doing fine. But you put them next to the genius in the class, everybody else looks looks stupider, for right, for lack of a better word, right? Because we're using T-Pace here.
Chacham would be the best one.
Yeah, exactly, right? So you think if the Chacham happened to have, he stayed at yeshiva for Pesach, and now the table is just three people, so, right? So who's the shining light of these kids? Is the Tom, right? He's not causing any problems. He's asking questions. It's great. The Tom would be, right? The Tom would be the great one. So so maybe there's something about the fact that when you put them together, right? When you put them together, the Tom, right, looks worse. So what we are expressing right now is that the Tom just looks worse. And maybe it's like a red herring, right? The Tom we think of as not so great. Maybe he actually is pretty great, but he just looks not great when you put him next to the Chacham. Okay, but Rav Moshe Sternbach makes a slightly different argument. It's similar because he describes what happens when you kind of put them next to each other, right? So it's the same kind of idea that the Tom is a Tom, but when you put him at the table with everybody else, he's a little bit of a teepish. So why? Not just because he looks worse, not just because his question now looks very much less impressive, but he says the following. So this is in source 5. So this is from Rav Moshe Sternbach. We have quoted him before. We've quoted the Sefer Tam Vidas on Chumash, and he actually has a Haggadah as well. So the Haggadah is also called Tam Vidas. That's kind of his that's his title that he uses for his non-halachic works. So he says the following: Arba sabanim nikraim b'Talmud Yerushalmi Chacham Rasha Tipesh ve'enu yodei lishol. So your first, this Yerushalmi that we saw, right? So there's a Tam, but the Yerushalmi has a different list, and it actually lists the Tipesh. B'yesh lahavin, madua hasam nikra b'Yerushalmi Tipesh. Why would the Yerushalmi refer to this child as a Tipesh? Again, I'm using the word child because we have banim. But this also is a whole separate, you know, you could do a whole shiur on this. The way that pictures in the Haggadahs, like, represent these particular people, right? So we think of them as, like, children. It doesn't mean, like, they're, like, little children, right? It just means people, means kids. So I'm using the word child, but, like, lav dafka, that I'm referring to, like, literally, like, a four-year-old. But we're talking about the people who are at the table, the children. Okay, v'yesh lahavin. Madua hasam nikra b'Yerushalmi Tipesh. So why are we calling him a Tipesh? Okay, Ela Nirmaz Bezos. It's hinting to the following idea. Shebet Tikufa ubimakom sheyeshnam Rishaim. At a time when you find yourself in around Rishaim, Asur Lahatik Lios Tam, Velinhog Betimimus Yisera. Then it's a bad idea to be a Tam. When you are around Rishaim, it's a bad idea to just be a Tam. When you are a Tam, right, when you are straight forward and just simple, so that idea of Tamimus, when we talk about that trait of Tamimus, we are referring to somebody who they don't need all sorts of deep explanations. They don't need crazy ideas. They are just, you know, straightforward, you know, give me the basics and I'll be fine, right? And you can be a tamimistic person, right? Somebody who, right, is gonna, they're on the right path and they're keeping it simple. But Rav Schoenbach says, but if you are going to be surrounded by Rishaim, who are going to be throwing all sorts of crazy questions, and they're going to be making you rethink everything that you say, and they're going to be pushing back on everything, when you're surrounded by Rishaim, so then just going b'tamimus, that's not enough. Ela tzarech lahavin as asher lefanav. Then you have to really understand what's in front of you. Al kain hanohig b'tamimus la'is kazos. If you just act b'tamimus at a time like that, nikra tipesh, then you're kind of just being stupid. If that is how you look at the world when you are surrounded by all sorts of these questions, then you're not approaching this very smartly. Right, you're actually, even though in a vacuum, being a Tom, being a simple Jew works when you are surrounded by a community that is, you know, just supporting you, that makes it easier for you to do what you what you want to do. But to just be a quote-unquote simple Jew, when you are surrounded by forces that are actually trying to pull you away, actively pull you away from your Jewish life, and are actively trying to make you question everything that you do, then you know what? Don't just take the simple answer. Don't just take the simple question even, right? You should actually try to look deeper. Make sure that you really understand. Because if you don't really understand, then when that Russia gets up and he asks you a question, you're going to say, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how to do that. I don't know why. I don't know why we're doing this. I don't know the details. And when you don't know the details, that itself may, right, that's going to cause you to question things. It's going to make it even harder for you to live the life that you want. So the Yerushalmi, Rav Schirnbach argues, the Yerushalmi is telling us, this person is a Tam. And maybe that normally is a good trait. Maybe being betmimus, just being, again, a simple Jew, a regular person who's just going to, you know, I get the basic understanding and that's enough. So even though that itself is a fine trait, when the Yerushalmi says, but you stick them all together, when you're at that table sitting with the Russia, that Tom, who's now listening to all those questions of the Russia, now what's he going to walk away with? He's just going to remember all those questions. He's not even going to really understand. So the Tom, when he is next to, when he's surrounded by other people, right, when he's in a society that has Rishayim, if you are just a Tom, maybe it's being a little bit of a teepish. That's his argument. So he says, really, it's the same person. It's the same person who the Tom and the teepish are really referring to the same exact person. But again, it kind of depends on the context. Sometimes being a Tom is a good thing. There are certain things that that we can take and we can listen and we can hear the basics and say, great, that's enough for me. But depends on the context that you find yourself in when you put yourself next to the other Bunim, not just because the Tom now looks worse. It's not just because we have a smarter kid at the table, but it's actually because when you put him next to the Russia, then his character trait is actually might lead him the wrong way, right? Now that he's just a Tom and he's hearing all these problems from the Russia, then he actually might be led astray. So that's the first answer. The first answer is the Tom and the Tipesh are the same. Okay, the Tom is really a good thing in general, but it depends on the context. And sometimes being a Tom is not enough. Okay, so it's something to think about that we find ourselves, right? Do we always need to understand all the details? Maybe not. But when we find ourselves in a world that's constantly questioning us, then maybe it is important or useful to start to delve into the details and to start to understand and to look a little deeper and to work on that aspect, even though, you know, maybe in a different context, maybe we wouldn't really need to, and then maybe it would be fine. Not everyone needs to be, you know, a philosopher like the Rambam. But if we are completely ill-equipped to actually understand what we do, then we might be in greater danger. And that the Yerushalmi perhaps is what's referred to as a tipesh. Okay, so that's suggestion number one. Why this simple child it may be referred to as a tipesh. Okay. So that's direction number one. I think I don't know if this completely fits with Rashi. The language of Rashi, if you look in source four, Rashi says, Zeh tinok tipesh she'eino yodea laha'amik she'elaso. I don't know. It almost sounds to me like Rashi is saying that the Tom's simple question, that Rashi may not see Tom as a good thing, right? Rashi seems to describe the Tom as someone who is unable to ask a deeper question, right? The way, you know, we saw from Shurmach, like the Tom is a good thing and like, you know, being between us has, you know, has like a positive side to it. You know, maybe it's good to not always ask questions. But the way Rashi is, it sounds like he's a tipesh. Why? Because he doesn't know how to ask more. So to me, it sounds almost like Rashi saying that the tipshus, the right, the stupidness is not in his environment and not how he's reacting to the environment, but like that he doesn't know how to ask deeper questions. So to me, it sounds like Rashi might be saying something a little bit different.
But it's not really stupidness.
Yeah.
It's really lack of knowledge. It could be construed as lack of knowledge. The Tom doesn't necessarily imply that he's stupid. He just doesn't have the background to ask a deeper question or to delve deeper into the subject matter.
So, I'm not going to go in a whole direction about like maybe when we get closer to Pesach, we could do an education in terms of like looking at it through an education lens, perhaps. Like when we say this Tom, what is he missing? Is he missing knowledge? Is he missing skills? Right? Like it could be that right. So we're saying the Tom is simple because he just doesn't have the same background knowledge. You also could have plenty of people who are a Tom who have. They go through the school system and they have a lot of facts, but they could still be a Tom because you have facts, you have surface facts, or even if you have somewhat deeper facts, but like you don't know how to ask questions, so that itself is a skill question and not a content question. So I think we could argue that point a little bit, that the place here may not really be a lack of knowledge per se, but I think if we take that approach, we should think about how would we address a Tom like that, right? I think that is a worthwhile thing to think about. But in this case, so I guess here, again, I'm using the word stupid. I don't really love using, I don't know if that's like the right translation. Because it also, right, it's like a loaded term in English. Like where you have, it comes with, right, a lot of baggage. So I'm using it just because. Exactly. Because like in modern Hebrew, when we say tipesh, that's what we mean. So it's just like a little bit easier to switch back and forth. But it's definitely worth thinking about further to figure out if that's like really what we mean.
He's a foolish king. They use the word foolish for him.
Yeah, and uses the same one.
Tipesh.
Yeah, or pikeach, right? And that itself is like a little bit, it goes back to something we had mentioned, which is like, what is the opposite of this trait, right? Like, we have a Tom. What is the opposite of being a Tom? So that's like another way of framing it. So again, when it comes to Ahasuerus, he's a tipesh or a pikeach. That's like the machlokes. So like which one of these is the pikeach? And you know, how do we pair them up? So that's like another way to kind of think about this question. But when Rashi says he's a tipesh she'eino yodea lahamik, that, right, it sounds like he's a tipesh in that he doesn't know how to go deeper or that he is not able to. Again, whether that's because of, like, literally the information he doesn't have or because of the skill, like, the ability to actually think deeper. So maybe we can put that aside for right now as we go a little further.
Just the same thing. The only thing that we seem to know about the Tom is his question.
Yeah,
but Rosh Sternbach is really not talking about his question because I think he's really talking about he needs to understand how to respond to the Russia.
Yeah, so again, that's why it seems that's what I want to kind of think about going into the second explanation is that Rosh Sternbach, right, he has an explanation for why the Tom is different, right? He says he's different. The title you would use is different depending on the context. But it's not really because of the question per se. And that's why it sounds to me like Rashi said, I don't know if that really fits with Rashi. Because for Rashi, it sounds a little bit more like his actual question. There's something Tipesh-esque about his actual question. So that's why I'm not Rosh Sternbach is a fair answer to understand why Chazal might use different language in different places. But I'm not sure it works for Rashi in this context. Okay, so in order to get to the second answer, I want to look at a pasuk in Tehillim. Rav Shimon Schwab is going to refer to this pasuk in his explanation. So I want to kind of look at that first. So the pasuk in Tehillim, this is the perek of Tehillim, Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos. So this is what we say is the Shir Shel Yom for Shabbos. This is, right, each day of the week has its own paragraph of Tehillim that we say. And the one about Shabbos is Tzadi Beis. It's the one that specifically says, right, it's a Shir, right, Liyom HaShabbos. Okay, so in that context, the Pasuk says, Ish Ba'ar Lo Yeda Uchsil Lo Yavin Es Zos. So we're talking about thanking Hashem and all sorts of great things. We say Ish Ba'ar Lo Yeda. A Ba'ar, so in this case they translate as a brutish man. A Ish Ba'ar, I don't want to use the word simple again because that sounds like Tom, but the point is, right, someone who lacks knowledge, an Ish Ba'ar Lo Yeda, so there's some sort of person who's a Ba'ar, he doesn't know. Uchsil, an Uchsil, lo yavin. But Uchsil, a fool, doesn't understand as Zos. He doesn't understand this. So the Pasuk is contrasting two people. Two people do not understand this. The Bar does not know it, and the Uchsil does not understand it. Okay, so that's the way the Pasuk is giving us two kinds of people. Neither of them understand this. What is this? What do they not understand? So the Mefarshim say, look at the next pasuk. What they don't understand is bifroach reshaim kemo esev, that the reshaim, they thrive, they sprout, they grow like grass, maybe like weeds. Vayatzitzu kol poalei aven, and they are able, and all sorts of poalei aven, all sorts of terrible people spring it forth. Right? They're sprouting and they seem to be doing just fine. Why are they lihi shamdam adayad? So why are they springing forth lihi shamdam adayad, in order to be destroyed forevermore? Okay, so this pasuk, it's a tough one. I'm like walking myself a little bit into a very big topic that deserves much more time than we're going to give it, admittedly, but. But this paragraph, which itself is something we should notice, because if we have the opportunity to say Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos on Shabbos, if we actually say that paragraph, or this Shabbos, we should maybe take an extra look. This is the paragraph of Shabbos. What is this paragraph about? We'd say, Shabbos. What about Shabbos? Okay, so if you look at the end, the whole end seems to be, why are there all sorts of Rishayim who seem to be thriving so well and doing so much? Right, it seems to be touching on what we might call tzadik v'ralo and rasha v'tovlo, right? That there are rasha'im who are getting tov, they seem to be doing well, and there are tzadikim who are not doing so well in the world, right? Who seem to be getting ra. So this whole topic of tzadik v'ralo and rasha v'tovlo seems to be like a main theme of this paragraph. Now, an outside question for yourself to think about is, why is that about Shabbos? Why is that the Shabbos paragraph? Like half the paragraph is about Tzadik Viralo and Rasha V'Tovlo. So that itself is a question. But for our purposes, we're going to just zero in on these psukim. And it says, Ish Bar Lo Yeda Uchsil Lo Yavin Esos. There are people who don't understand. What do they not understand? So, Bifrach Rishim, that Rishim succeed in order to be destroyed in the future. Okay, so we're just going to read it simply. There are a number of different ways to read this pasuk. We're going to read it one of the classical ways, just for our purposes, which is that Rishaim, they succeed right now. They receive their reward right now. So that in the future, forevermore, for eternity, they have been paid back, and now they're finished. Right? So they get their reward in this world, and then they are destroyed in the future. Okay? So that is a classic way to read this verse, okay? But the verse is clearly trying to deal with the topic of, right? It's trying to deal with Rasha V'Tovlo. Why are there Rasha'im in the world, okay? So why are there Rasha'im in the world? So that they can be destroyed in the future, okay? Fine. So that's the pasuk. Ish Bar Lo Yeda. But it's very difficult to understand, right? It's very difficult to actually understand this and see it. Why is there an Ish Bar and a Ksil? What's the difference between a Bar and a Ksil? So some of the Mefarshim as is their style, they'll say it's repeating for a flourish, right? So some of the mafarshim will look at the phrase which is said twice in different words, and they'll say, you know, because it's a song, because it's a poem, because it's Tanakh, and that's how you speak, right? It's kind of just repeating the same thing in different words. So that's one thing some of the mafarshim will say. But the Malbim, that's not really the Malbim style. So the Malbim gives us one explanation for Ba'ar and Ksiel. And the Malbim says, what's the difference? The Ba'ar is an Adam HaBehemi, right? He is, that's the Lashon of the language of Ba'ar, is that he's animalistic. And he's just in it for his own taiva. And he's in it for his own desires and what he wants. So an ish bar, somebody who only thinks about himself and can only see in front of him what he wants. So lo yeda, he just doesn't understand this at all. And a ksil is somebody who they could be a very smart person, but they are led astray. She'ino holik b'chukei chachma b'nei ta'avaso v'risho. So he can be a very smart person. A bar is somebody he's just like a straight, you know, a person who just doesn't know stuff. Ish bar never really delves deeply into things. That's a bar. And a ksil, he could be a very smart intellectual person, but he's led astray by his taiva. Okay, so that's the difference between a bar and a ksil. So
bar can't get higher?
So maybe... I mean, any of them.
Try to teach him, would he understand anything?
So I think you can. I think you just the way you, if a person were to recognize or to want to grow, then a person who might find himself and realize that he's more of a bar kind of person, right? The path that he would follow may be different than a ksil. Because a ksil, he's very intellectual. He understands. He's very analytical. But what a ksil needs to address is his taifa. But a bar maybe never really learned how to analyze the situation. He never really learned how to fully understand what's in front of him. So they might take different approaches. They might need a little bit of different kind of chinuch, you know, something like that. So that's what the Malbim says. So that's the difference between a bar and a ksil. And therefore, the bar just doesn't know anything. And the ksil, he knows a lot of stuff, but... he just doesn't understand. He just can't take that extra step. Because if he really analyzed, that's the nature of Bina, to go a second step, to go a little bit further to analyze. Okay, so that's what he thinks is the difference. So if I said which of these is, I don't know, which one is worse? Is it worse to be a bar or a ksil?
Probably a bar.
So I think we could argue the point a little bit. But for the most part, it sounds like a bar, like he just doesn't know anything. Like, right? He's like at the bottom of this philosophical ladder. The bar is the guy who's all the way at the bottom, and the ksil has made his way somewhere. He uses his mind. He just doesn't use it in the right way. Something like that. So it almost sounds like the bar is kind of the bottom of the barrel here. The top of page 2, we have a source from Rav Schwab. So this is Rav Shimon Schwab. But he's quoting from someone else. So he's quoting from his Rebbe, okay, from the Rosh Yeshiva of Telz, when he learned in Europe. So Rav Schwab learned at Telz in Europe, and this is Rav Yosef Leib Bloch. So he quotes from his Rosh Yeshiva when Rav Schwab learned in Telz, and he explains the following. He says... he explains it through a mashal, and he says that imagine that you. I'm trying to think if I should like use his mashal. I've heard Rav Zev Lef give like a slightly updated version of the mashal. So I'm trying to figure out we should use one or the other, but it's like imagine you walk into the cockpit of an airplane. Right, we'll use that instead of a boat or whatever. But right, so you walk into the cockpit of an airplane, and there are all these dials, and right, there are a million dials and switches and levers. Right, so all sorts of things that you can pull and push and flip and there are lights shining, right? So I'm saying you. Maybe you're a pilot, but I'm not a pilot. Okay, so I've never flown before. I'm not familiar with any of these things.
I am.
So, oh yeah. So I'll have to pick a different muscle for you. but imagine that somebody is not right, and they walk into this this room that's got so much going on, and they want to and they want to understand. They don't have any idea what's going on in here. Okay, so what happens? There are different kinds of questions you might ask. So vihine. So let's look at the. It's kind of the muscle that he set up in source 8, and then I highlighted on the right side in the columns is vihine. Okay, so there are all these different things that are going on in the room, and you don't understand any of them. Vihine bikanes ish ba'ar, v'hu hachacham hayodea she'ino yodea. So what's an ishbar? An ishbar of Bloch says is he's smart enough to know that he does not know. He's a chacham hayodea she'inu yodea. So he knows, right? It doesn't even mean he may not even be a genius, this bar, but like he's able to say like I don't know any of these things. Lo yishal she'ilos pratios. So when he walks into the room, he's not going to start asking, what is this one button do? Why do you need this button? Why do you need this switch? He doesn't know anything in the room. So he's not going to look at all that start by saying, what's this tiny detail? What's this one thing? Ela lakol hayoser yivakesh mirav hachovel. He's going to ask from the expert sailor, right? but in our case, a pilot. Sheyasbir lo bichlalius inyan hilu chasvina vehanhagasa. Right? He's going to start by saying, like, how do you drive the thing? Right? How do you move the plane? How do you get the plane to move? You're not going to say, like, when you sit down, what is this switch for? You say, like, how do you drive? How do you move it? Okay? And then when you start to get that fuller picture, so then the details start to come into focus. And, well, I'm trying to move the plane, so these are some of the steps that I'm going to use. But an ishbar who recognizes, I don't know anything. I have no idea what's going on. So he's not going to start, he should not start by getting into every little tiny detail out of this whole process. It's just that you're just going to get lost. You're going to think that this tiny thing is everything. Okay, aval im hanichnas yistakel al hamachshirim echad leechad ve'echakach yishal maze shebukim mechugazo lo yisovif hamachad ele yalav yari. Okay, but after you start to get a general picture, after you start to understand the big picture, so then you can start to say, okay, now let's get into the details, right? So you have this big picture view, and then you can start to look at the details. Hari im enu yodea klal b'inyanim elu ben yimino lo smolo. If you don't understand, right, if I walked into a cockpit, I would not know my right from my left. Right? I wouldn't know at all what's going on. Ich yishal adavar prati ladas masav. How could I possibly ask, why do you need this? Why is this thing here? I don't know anything that's going on in there. And I'm going to focus on this specific thing. Brother ladas masav. Ulaksili chashev. If you were to ask, why this? You sound kind of stupid. You sound like a ksil. You sound like a fool to say, what's this thing doing here? Like, well, do you understand why anything else is there? No, you don't understand why anything is there, right? Why don't you, like, get your bearings before you start asking about those details? So Rav Lach says that is the mashal that he wants to use to understand our pasuk, right? V'gam eich yuchal rav hachovela anoslo ki ifalto. Right? If the ksil is saying, why do you need this thing? So then how can the pilot even answer the question? Because he has to say, okay, well, first you have to know that in order to drive the plane, there are the different moving parts of the wing, and that, like, he has to, like, there's so many steps that he has to go through just to explain, right, to really explain, if you really want to know why this thing is here, you actually have to know all sorts of other pieces as well. So how can you even address the ksil, right, who's saying this, I want to know about this, without giving that bigger picture, right? You still have to give that context. You have to explain everything, you know, the other pieces that are there. Ella me'acha shadavar hahu eino elachilik katan mehaklal kulo shel hakelim. Right? When this one little piece, this little is just one part of the whole set of tools and pieces that you need in order to actually move and drive the boat. Okay, so this, he argues, is the way to understand this, the contrast of the bar and the ksil. The bar is the one who walks in and says, I have no idea what's going on. Can you explain to me what's happening? And the ksil, he doesn't understand what's going on either. But he says, but tell me why this thing? That. And if you try to, right, if he wants to just know this. And you're like, well, it's because in the sky, right, when you're flying, you have to take into account the jet stream. And he's like, no, but like this thing, why this thing? Right? If he's so zeroed in on the details and he can't see that bigger picture at all, then how do you even address that? How do you even address those issues? So ve'alze amar David HaMelech shebihistaklus al klolius hanhagas HaKadosh Baruch Hu be'abriya ishbar lo yeda. Right? When we look at the world, we look at the way that God runs the world, we could take a perspective. An ishbar will say, I don't know. I don't understand. I don't really understand. It's so complex. There's such a complex system that's going on in the universe. I don't really know why God is doing this thing. V'yafe lo hashtika. And then, right, like, it makes sense that he's admitting that he doesn't understand. And then, and that's just the way it is. Aval ksil, a ksil, a fool, hu mi sheshoel shelo yavin es zos. I don't get this. I don't get this thing. Shaharei bein kach lo yavin seder hanhaka. You don't understand this thing? You, the ksil, you're saying you don't understand why this thing happened? You don't understand why anything happens. You think, oh, I understand why everything else happened. This is the thing that's driving you crazy? You don't really understand how anything happens. And the fact that the ksil isn't able to recognize that he doesn't really understand the broader picture, so that's why he's called a ksil. That's why he's called a fool. So when I asked before, which one is worse, right? We usually think like the bar, oh, he doesn't know anything, right? But Rav Blach kind of flips it around. Says an ishbar who just doesn't understand, so he doesn't understand. Fine. But the ksil is the one who he really doesn't understand, but he wants to know this. He has a very myopic, small view of what it is that he doesn't understand. And perhaps, right, to elaborate from Rav Lef, who I've heard quote this, I hadn't heard him quote from this week's Parsha, but I've heard him quote this idea before. Rav Lef says, if you look at the Gemara, when Moshe actually asks to understand Tzadik Viralo. So the Gemara says that Moshe asks Hashem, can you explain to me why Rishaim succeed and Tzadikim don't? But that's actually not that's the way we might say it. But Moshe actually asks, according to the Gemara, more questions. He asks, Tzadik Viralo, Tzadik Vitovlo. Rasha Viralo, Rasha Vitovlo. Why does a Tzadik not succeed? And why does he sometimes succeed? And why does a Rasha not succeed and also sometimes succeed? Moshe, and the Gemara has a discussion, Moshe is not really answered, right? But Moshe is not a ksil. He doesn't say, I understand everything. I know exactly why good things happen. I just don't understand this one thing. Right? Moshe is able to recognize, you know what? We may not fully understand. We don't really understand why a lot of good things happen either. He also is able to take that broader perspective. As Rav Lef says, no one ever really walks into the no one walks into the rabbi's office and says, Rabbi, I don't get it. I have a house. I have a car. I have a family. We're doing fine. Why is this happening to me? Right? No one asks that. No one, for some reason, we all think we completely understand why that happens. But when something bad happens, that is the one thing I don't understand. So that's his perspective on Ishbar lo yeda, ksil lo yavin es zos. Okay, we don't understand why this is happening. So Rav Schwab says, I think of that idea when I look at our week's Parsha. Rav Schwab quotes that whole piece from Rav Lach and says, I think that is an insight into our Parsha. When we look at the question, what was the question of our Tom? The question of our Tom was, Ma Zos, what's this? What is this? So we won't spend too much time, but this is source 9. I'll allude to it. I'll refer to it after we go through Rav Schwab at the end. So Rav Schwab says, V'chein haben haroech yuvei mitzvos haTorah. A child, a person who sees the mitzvos of the Torah, im chacham hu shoel ka'inyan. So if he's a chacham, so then this is how he's going to ask. Ma ha'idus v'chukim v'mishpatim asher tziva Hashem Elokeinu. What are the rules and the laws and the statutes, all of those pieces? Shemivin she'avodas lel hizkadesh chag ha'pesach hu rak chilek echad mikol inyanei ha'Torah. He understands that Pesach is part of a bigger structure. Pesach is not the entirety of our Jewish experience. This is one piece of a bigger system. Ve'al kein shoel al klolius ha'mishpatim echiyuvim. So he's asking, tell me about the chukim, the rules, the laws, the bigger, right? All of the systems. Explain to me the systems of the Torah. Aval hashoel mazos, but to ask, what is this? Al mitzvah pratis, on one particular mitzvah. Hari hu kikfari haba lekiryas melech rav ir habira. Right? It's like the villager who comes to the capital city. Vero paltirin ve'apad naus veganim upartisim ubinyanim machus. He sees the palace and the fields and the orchards and all sorts of things that the king has. Vitama rak al bayis echad maze. And then he points to one house and he's like, whoa, why do we need that? Why does the king have that? Right? Why do we need that? Hello, tzarech lishol shiyasbiru lo kol tachzitzei hamlucha. You have to understand, like, malchus. You have to understand the role of the king. You have to understand what the king has and the point of the king and the point of the government and how it works. Vinyanehu v'zeh yavin tachlis kol binyan. And when you understand, when you start to understand the system, when you start to understand that it is not, you can't just zero in on this one piece. You have to look and recognize that this is a part of a bigger picture, of part of a bigger system of ideas. Then, if you can't do that, then you're potentially, he says, that's part of being the tipesh, right? That's why is this question a tipesh kind of question? Because if you zero in and you say this is the one thing I don't get. I just need to understand this one thing, but you don't recognize that this is nested into a bigger picture. It's part of a bigger system. When you say, I ignore everything else about Judaism because I don't understand this one thing, then we say, come on, is that how anything works? No, you have to understand that this is a part of a bigger system. And now, okay, so you have a question about this piece. You have a question about this thing, this detail. But this is a detail that's part of something else. And if you pull all the details apart, if you say everything is right, is you completely analyze to the extent that like you pull all of them and they're all separate pieces, then you lose Yahdus. Like you lose Judaism because now everything is just a detail. But everything is not just a detail. And that's this source 9. We're not going to go into this idea of holistic and reductionist perspectives, right? This idea that that when we look at things, there are things that are like, is this structure or organization or system just all of the individual parts? I'm just adding it all together, or is it? I'm creating something that is different than it is more than just the sum of its parts, right? Which is a little bit of a cliche, but something that is a system. And you can't just look at one little piece. You can't just take this one piece completely in isolation and say, "This I want to just understand this thing." Right? So that's this idea of recognizing that there are systems that we are a part of, which are, we have to have a holistic view potentially. Right? We have to say, you have to look at the whole thing, and now you can also look at the details and you can explore and manipulate and look at and understand and analyze. But if you look at this as if it stands on its own, and it stands alone, and it's not attached to anything, it's not part of the system, then you're misleading yourself, and you're not really understanding how it works. So that is the second idea of the Tam. Why is the Tam potentially referred to as a tipesh? Because to ask a question, the Tam means he's simple. He's just going to ask a simple question, but a question that's of mazos. That's a tipesh kind of question. It's a question that is not going to lead you astray. It is one that you may misunderstand, right? If you don't understand that this is a part of a system, then you're also not even going to understand this. Right? If you take it in complete isolation, then you are going to be missing everything. So this view, do we look at it as the whole? Do we look at the parts? This idea that, again, obviously at any given time, we have to understand this mitzvah that I'm doing. But if I argue, mazos, what is this? So it's just a perspective to have that when we look at the world and we say, I don't understand this. Are we taking a perspective of recognizing that that there's a whole system at play and I want to better understand all of the pieces so that I can also understand this thing, right? Or am I saying, no, I'm going to ignore everything else. I'm going to throw out everything because I just want to understand this thing, which itself means we'll never actually fully understand that thing either.